As a full-time pastor now for 48 years, I've sat with many on their deathbed and heard their final words. But in all my years, I've never heard any dying dad ever say that he wished he made more money or played one more game of golf. But there were many, many times, however, where they would tell me how much they wanted to spend time with their children. Because you see, we can get so involved in so many activities that we end up sacrificing our family on the altars of success.
Aloha, and welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero of New Hope West in Eugene, Oregon. Today's message is geared primarily toward dads and children, but mostly to you dads. But the rest of you are more than welcome to listen in. Pastor Wayne recorded it on location, out beside a river, on Father's Day a few years back. Here he is with a message entitled, From the Heart.
Happy Father's Day to all the dads. I just love the beauty of the Northwest at this time of year. And it's a special day to celebrate for sure. But first, let me start with a humorous dad story. Story is told of four dads in the hospital waiting room because their wives were just giving birth at the same time. Well, soon a nurse comes out and said to the first dad, "Congratulations, you're having twins." "What?" said the first father. "How uncanny. I work for the Minnesota Twins." A few minutes later, another nurse came out and said to the second dad, "Congratulations, you're having triplets." "Wow," he said, "this is crazy. I work for the 3M company." And just then another nurse enters the room and said to the third dad, "Congratulations, you're having quadruplets." "Wow," that father said, "that's weird. I mean, I work for the Four Seasons Hotel." Just then another nurse comes out and she approaches the fourth dad, who's crying profusely, hitting his head on the wall. "Sir," said the nurse, "what's wrong?" The father sobbed. He said, "I work for 7-Up. One of the most important priorities in life is our family. However, it can be almost one of the hardest relationships to maintain. The family is under attack by our society, our educational system, our postmodern woke thinking, and even our government, making it more and more difficult to remain engaged, and it's easier to now compromise or just bail out. So, how do we keep it priority with all the other demands on our life? Well, we always start by turning to the Bible. That's right. The Bible is our standard, and it holds eternal principles to live by. You see, God designed us, our families, and our future, and He knows how it all goes together best. But we will each have a choice to make early on. Choice? Yeah. We've got to choose either we will agree with the Bible or try to get the Bible to agree with us. The first leads to life, the second to regret. And that's when life gets obscure and hard to navigate. Out on the Oregon coast, it can get awfully foggy sometimes. I mean, it's beautiful today, but fog can come in so quickly that you can't see 10 feet in front of you. Well, a story is told. Before technology changed the way we navigate on the water, bullhorns were used to communicate from ship to ship. Well, once a large battleship was slowly making its way through uncharted waters when a thick shroud of fog just suddenly blanketed the area. Suddenly, through the thick haze, the captain noticed the light of another ship directly in his path. So quickly, he grabbed his bullhorn and he shouted, "This is Admiral Smith of the United States Navy. Steer yourself 10 degrees south. Well, through the mist, though he couldn't see, he heard the reply, "This is Seaman Fourth Class Jones. Steer yourself 10 degrees north." The admiral thought to himself, "Hey, this guy's a seaman fourth class. I am an admiral." So he turned up his bullhorn and repeated, "This is Admiral," emphasizing that word, "Smith of the United States Navy. Steer your vessel 10 degrees south. I'm coming through." And through the fog, same reply, "This is Seaman Fourth Class Jones. You steer yourself 10 degrees north." Well, by this time, the Admiral is just angry at this insubordination. So he yells back, "This is an order. You will immediately steer yourself 10 degrees south. I am a battleship." Well, through the fog, the voice replies, "This is a request. You should immediately steer yourself 10 degrees north. I am a lighthouse." Not too far from here is a lighthouse. A place that was built for safety, for warning, and for pointing the way home. The Bible is like a lighthouse. It too was designed by God for safety, for warning, and for pointing the way home. It doesn't move. The Bible tells us, "Forever, O Lord, is your word settled in heaven." That's what it says in Psalms 119. And God designed us to navigate our lives by it. That is, if we want to steer our way through choppy seas and when decisions are shrouded with dense fog. Today, on Father's Day, we fast forward to the very last verse of the Old Testament, almost as if it were the final words of the Law of Moses. Final words from the prophets, the judges, and the priests. Here, Malachi, the final book of the Old Testament, tells us of the coming of John the Baptist and what will begin the New Testament. Let's read it together. "And he will turn the hearts of fathers to their children and the hearts of children to their fathers. Otherwise, I will come and strike the land with a curse." You know, all my life, I've searched the Bible for simple principles that, if followed, would make our lives so much richer and more meaningful. How often we want more advanced teaching and more complex solutions when it's often the basics that we have sloughed off that cause the most calamity. Well, one of those basic principles is this. The Bible is saying, before we go any further, let's get our hearts right. If our hearts aren't right with God and with those around us, we miss the most basic principle of all. One day, a lawyer came up to Jesus and said, "If you could distill the whole Bible into one phrase, what would that phrase be?" Jesus said, "Here it is. Get your heart right with God and get it right with the people around you." Actually, it said it in this way in Mark 12:30. It says this, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. And the second is like unto it." Interesting to note that the final words of the whole Old Testament zeroes in on this and applies that primary principle, especially to dads and their children. "The second is like unto it, that you love your neighbor as yourself." And then he said, "These two are the most important, and on this, all the law, the prophets hang." So today, we're going to focus in on exactly what Malachi says, and preeminently to dads and their children. So moms, you get a pass today. The two-pronged message speaks to two groups, not just to fathers, but also to the sons and the daughters. Those two groups. And what God is saying is, as the Old Testament comes to a close, it's time for hearts to return, so that we can start the new covenant where the Messiah of grace is about to come. So the Bible's very first order of business, fathers, turn your hearts back to your children. Especially in today's world of absentee dads, this couldn't come at a more appropriate time. In a recent statistics study, it reported that 63% of suicides come from homes with absentee fathers, which means the father can be there, but not engaged. The statistic continues. 90% of runaways, and then 85% of behavioral disorders, and 80% of youths with major anger problems all come from homes with absentee or no fathers. Even of most recent date, the shooter who shot 21 in Uvalde, Texas,
His father was absent. He had divorced the shooter's mom and had been living with his girlfriend and hadn't seen his son for the last few years. In a recent interview with the absentee father, he lamented the fact of what his son did. But I thought, it's a little late, isn't it? Now, you have to live with a life of regret. As a full-time pastor now for 48 years, I've sat with many on their deathbed and heard their final words. Sometimes I actually felt like a Catholic priest hearing their confession. But in all my years, I've never heard any dying dad ever say that he wished he made more money or played one more game of golf or made one more deal. But there were many, many times, however, where they would tell me how much they wanted to spend time with their children, more time, be engaged more, invest more of themselves in what God called them to do. Because you see, we can get so involved in so many activities that we end up sacrificing our family on the altars of success. And if we push hard enough, the road to success and the road to a nervous breakdown will become one and the same. So where do we start? I wish I could give a feel-good message today and we all go away with a chuckle. But today, let's go away with an assignment, a charge to men to do what we can to restore hearts. And let the final words of God as he closes the whole Old Testament sink deep. So where do we begin? Well, here it is. Start with what you have. Just whatever you can. You have an email, or you can send a note, or you have a cell phone, text a message. You have Walmart, Target, send a card to restore hearts. If there's anything that's broken or estranged, listen, God will make small things really big when they come from your heart. Remember, God is saying to dads, restore the hearts of the fathers to the children. So here's the assignment. You've got something, text, email, card, do something to start that process. Just make sure it comes from your heart. You know, I remember my dad, although he was a war hero, several tours of combat under his belt, a Silver Star, Bronze Star, 2 Purple Hearts. But in those days, when you retired, you got a pat on the back and a very small pension. Well, when I told my dad I was going to Bible college to study to be a pastor, I remember him going to his bedroom and coming back with an envelope. He told me he couldn't help with any of my expenses. He just didn't have the money. He was a war hero, but now he was working as a night watchman at a local wood mill. He handed me the envelope, and in it, he had placed $420 worth of food stamps. That's all he had left for the month. He said he wanted me to have it just in case I ever ran out of food. I tried to give it back, but he wouldn't take it. You know, I never did spend that. I kept it in my desk drawer for several years until I lost track of it. But it was there to always remind me of his heart. Nothing really big, but remember, God will always take small things and make it really big when it comes from your heart. And he did what he could, and he started with whatever he had, and that made all the difference. The second prong of these last words of the Old Testament is directed to sons and daughters. It says, "And he will turn the hearts of the children back to their fathers." For those of us who had fine fathers in the past, this is easy. But for others, it may not be so easy. You might ask, how can I turn my heart back to an absentee father that left us or abandoned us? Here's where the Lord comes in. Here's where all you've been learning comes into play. Listen carefully. Maybe it won't come naturally for you, so let it come as ministry for you. Ministry is obeying. It's something you and I will get to do at times when it wouldn't be something we do naturally. It stems from God's assignment to us and not always from convenience. So for those sons and daughters to whom God is speaking about hearts being restored, listen carefully. Here's a word for all of us, really, when it comes to ministry. Here's the words: go first. Don't wait for the other person to start the healing process. You go first. It may not bear fruit today, but it may in the future. Go first to plant the seed. And we can all do that. Maybe that's one of the reasons why God has given you His Spirit, His power, His blessings, so you can take the lead and change how the generations after you will be. So instead of waiting for them to get it right, you go first. You be the leader of a new generation. It can begin with you. You lead the way. Let me give you an example. I remember when I was 17 years old, I slammed the door on my dad and I left home in anger. And for 2 years, I refused to see him or even talk to him. He was overly strict and demanding during my high school years, but I'm sure he was fighting with his own demons. And I wasn't very patient myself. Well, at 19 years old, I received the Lord. And one day, the Lord asked me to drive down to my dad and ask for his forgiveness. It was not to be an easy task. And taking that journey would be a very long drive. Well, I thought, he's the dad. He needs to make it right. But then the Lord spoke to my heart and said, no, you go first. You break that generational curse, as it was, and you start it off new. You take the lead. So, got in my car and took that long drive and asked for his forgiveness. And when I did, we were reconciled, and it felt like 1,000 pounds was lifted off my shoulders. I couldn't see it then, but later, my dad would come to Christ. So did my sisters, my siblings, my family. I think God was waiting for me to go first, to get my heart right with God, and then with my dad. On this Father's Day, let God do His work as He restores the hearts of the fathers back to His children and the children back to their fathers. So here's the message. Number one, go first. And then two, start with what you have, an email, a card, or a text. And then three, remember, God will use even the smallest things when it's done with the right heart. Let me close with a story that happened a few years ago when our kids were small. Aaron was about 5 or 6 years old, and they used to love to go to Kona on the other side of the big island of Hawaii, where there are large white sand beaches. Now, the kids gathered all the money they had from their allowances, and off we went. We stopped at a gift shop, and they disappeared into the store. Now, some minutes later, Aaron came back with a small package and handed it to me. "I got you a present," he said excitedly as we got into the car. And when we got there, I opened the present and found that he had bought me not some macadamia nuts, not a coffee cup. He bought me a whiskey shot glass with Hawaii labeled on it. And I thought, what? Here's a pastor's 6-year-old kid going into a store and buying a shot glass. I turned around in the seat and I said, "What in the world did you get this for? This is crazy." Well, he started to tear up and said, "Well, Dad," he said, "when I saw it, I thought, you're the pastor. And so when we take communion in church, you should have your very own communion cup." And then I understood. You know, for the past 35 years, I've kept that communion cup. And here it is. This is what he got me. And it's there to remind me that God will always use the smallest things when it comes from a big heart. Let's try doing it God's way in our relationships, especially on this special day. Let the last words of the Old Testament be the first words of a new beginning. To all dads and their children, happy Father's Day.
God over all. Our future is in you. All fear and all doubt are lost in your presence. When all else fades away, your promise.
We have
You have just heard a message entitled From the Heart by Dr. Wayne Crudero of New Hope West in Eugene, Oregon. This message was recorded on location beside a river in Oregon on Father's Day a few years ago. We trust that it has strengthened and encouraged you today. Thank you for listening to Words of New Hope. Until next time, for Pastor Wayne and all the family at New Hope, God bless you and have a great day in the Lord.